Summer treating you? Are you enjoying the family? Are you hanging out, get a chance to partake in some entertainment type things? Kate Delaney at the helm of America Tonight. Remember, you can always get in touch with the show by sending us an email at americatonight.net. americatonight.net. I'll tell you, one of the big stories is Bradley Manning not guilty of aiding the enemy. Maybe the biggest story this week, as Bradley Manning, in a story of the big document dump, the battlefield records, that kind of stuff, happened back in 2010. Think about it. And all of the opinions surrounding Manning giving that information to WikiLeaks. So the fact, I mean, I don't know if he gets any sense of satisfaction out of it. I would think in one way he does, because of the not guilty of aiding the enemy. Could there be anything worse when you're a soldier? And this kid's, you know, a 25-year-old kid. What he did was is that he really got under the skin of the State Department, because he had a video that was a pretty damaging video that he released, and he also had the State Department cable that was pretty damaging too, and he was found not guilty of an unauthorized possession of information relating to national defense. So that was good on his part as far as what he could get sentencing wise. However, you know, this is the guy accused of the largest leak, I'll say it again, of classified information in U.S. history, not guilty of aiding the enemy. That absolutely would have been a maximum life sentence, period. But what's interesting is all the other charges, if taken together, you could, you know, you're looking at 136 years maybe in prison. And among the charges are theft of more than 700 U.S. Southern Command records and possession of records pertaining to Afghanistan, the theft of State Department cables, the possession of classified Army documents. So Manning has already spent 3 years in custody while he's been behind bars. Whether he's, you know, people are still debating on whether he's a whistleblower or a traitor to his country. I mean, this was a hot, hot story, still is a hot story, and carries over to Ed Snowden, really. And what happens ultimately with Snowden, the man who admitted to leaking top secret details about U.S. surveillance programs for the NSA. But Snowden is not having any day in the court at this point. He wants to go to Latin America. He's still trying to make his way there. I think the damaging thing was a lot of the material that was released had all these different numerous aspects of U.S. military strategy. Some of it horrified people what was happening in Iraq and gave what some would probably term a different view of events for sure in the Afghanistan war, revealed some of what the U.S. State Department diplomacy was, what they leaked in cables. And the verdict is, I mean, his verdict is huge. The judge rejected the government's argument that Manning, by virtue pretty much of what he did as an intelligence officer, must have known that what he was leaking, what he gave to WikiLeaks, was going to reach Al-Qaeda, was most likely going to reach Al-Qaeda. But ruling that Manning had reason to believe his disclosures, you know, that could harm the United States, even if that was not his goal. That's what the interesting part is, because the judge rejected the government's argument that that's what he was doing, that he was trying to help Al-Qaeda, which could help another whistleblower that I just briefly mentioned, Snowden, should he ever find himself in this position. Now, what was interesting was the ACLU, which the director of the ACLU, Ben Wisner, whose speech privacy and tech, you know, on their speech privacy and technology project, actually issued a statement. He said, it seems clear that the government was seeking to intimidate anyone who might consider revealing valuable information to the media in the future. So Amnesty International, they weighed in. They said the verdict reveals the U.S. government's misplaced priorities on national security, and the government's pursuit of aiding the enemy charge was a serious overreach of the law. I agree with that. Not in the least because there was no credible evidence of Manning's intent to harm the U.S. by releasing the classified information to WikiLeaks. That's what Amnesty International said. That's what their statement was. I agree. I don't think that was the intent. I think the intent was to just dump it out there, get some notoriety. By all accounts, he was on a wild ride, and to tell people, hey, this is what's happening. I'm starting to read this stuff. Man, this is dramatic. I'm releasing this. Boom. Knowing that it would have to know that it was going to cause the kind of storm that it did. But maybe he was naive to what was going to happen to him, to what would ultimately happen to him. And, you know, it's interesting, too. And I would love to know the reporter, but this soldier, just from a small town in Oklahoma, has said many times that he tried to give, not to just WikiLeaks, but he initially tried to give the information to the Washington Post, but a reporter there didn't take him seriously. He left a voicemail for the New York Times, sent an email to, you know, the newspaper, didn't hear back. Goes to WikiLeaks. Assange's people are all over it. All the sensitive information that he had, he let it out. And so this court case for Manning, by the way, really dragged on. 2011, you know, this happened in 2010. 2011, his defense argued that the military didn't look at the warning signs that the soldier, first of all, was falling apart. A few months before he was arrested, Army Command referred him to a psychologist for some kind of an evaluation because he was stressed and he didn't seem to have any kind of social support, that kind of stuff. He was sensitive to criticism. They even at one point said he was a potential danger to himself and other people. So the military didn't act on any of the signs that Manning seemed a little bit unstable. So guess what? The red flags were there. They didn't do anything. And then, boom, bomb, look what happens to them. And I think the worst collateral damage may have been the U.S. Apache helicopter firing at a group of people in Baghdad in 2007, because that video came out. A dozen people were killed, and there was a Reuters TV news cameraman. We've talked about that and his driver that were in the video. And the video showed that, that Reuters, the Reuters reporter survived the initial hit by the helicopter, but died when it opened fire again on the people trying to get him off the sidewalk where he laid in and was in a van. So just that was just brutal. That was unbelievable. And that's when you knew, this is not good. What in heaven's name were they thinking? And then that's when everything really, I think, blew up and registered with many people in America what was happening, what was so awful there. All right, coming up on this hour as we take a look back at some of the cool people that we talked to this year. Lisa Lark, so excited about the Vietnam Wall. She talks about honoring the veterans, things you can do when you go to the wall, and really telling some of the stories of the Vietnam vets. I love it. Jeff Steyer, Ringling Brothers, we're going to put that in the mix. And Anthony Mangello from Maggio Cheese. You know him. I love Big Anthony. Anyway, he talks about cooking up a deal for Valentine's Day that you could really cook up all year long. So stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. diseases. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Welcome back to America Tonight. You know, we talk about elephants and the circus, and is there abuse there, and what's happening. We've seen some saucy headlines over it, and then we've seen the syrupy commercials, and I'm not making fun of it because, you know, I love my Mahalo, my golden retriever, but the ASPCA, there you go, I know you could get those letters out, they might be misleading some people, and especially with something that just happened, this Ringling Brothers suit. An op-ed piece appeared in the Orange County Register. It was brought to my attention. Jeff Steyer is the one who put it together. He is a senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research, and he's given an attaboy to the circus for suing and winning their case again against the ASPCA. So, shocker. You know, when, as I said, you see the syrupy commercials, you think, wow, what's the good work they're doing? But I guess there's some misconceptions and it's starting to be exposed partially because of this Ringling Brothers thing. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
So, let's talk about first of all, your piece was great because you really gave us the who, what, where, when, and why, pieced it all together. You talk about the star witness for the ASPCA and the plaintiff, the guy named Tom Ryder, a former Ringling Brothers employee. What was the problem with this guy? He was saying that they were abusing animals, but especially focused on the elephants. But what truly, tell the listeners, what truly was the problem with Tom Ryder?
Well, Tom Ryder was the star witness for the plaintiff, which was the plaintiffs were the ASPCA, the Humane Society, a Humane Society affiliated group, and a number of other radical animal rights groups. And these animal rights groups have an agenda, and that agenda, and they admit the agenda, is that they don't want animals like elephants to be in circuses or even in zoos. So they found a former Ringling Brothers employee, and get this, they hired him. They paid their witness, which which is a no-no. It was not properly disclosed. The Dutch finally got to the bottom of it, and the whole case was dismissed. This alleged abuse case, because there was no there. The elephants weren't being abused. And the main guy who was making the allegation on behalf of the agenda-driven plaintiffs was not, in the judge's view, not a credible witness. So what happened was, I call this a man-bites-dog story. The for-profit corporation, Ringling Brothers Circus and their parent company, Feld, sued the activist group. Usually you've got activist groups suing companies, going after them for money.
Right.
Well, because this case was such an abusive case, not abuse of animals, but abuse of the court system, Feld said, hey, that was such an outrageous case, you shouldn't have brought it. You were torturing us. You had no grounds for this lawsuit. And while that case has not been fully resolved yet, there are a number of plaintiffs in it. The ASPCA, which is one of the main plaintiffs in the original underlying case, a week and a half ago, settled the case. Now, of course, they didn't admit any wrongdoing, but they didn't admit any wrongdoing to the tune of, get this, $9.3 million. That's a pretty expensive way to say I didn't do anything wrong. But the irony of it all is because Ringling Brothers does, I mean, think about it. Their business is showing elephants to consumers, to their consumers. They invest a lot of money in these elephants, and they take good care of them. They have to. Now, obviously, the elephants are in chains at times. They're pretty strong animals. I have my 70-pound black lab, BB, on a very strong collar and leash because he's a strong animal. You have to care for these animals, and sometimes that includes restraining them for their own safety. But the irony here is the $9.3 million, those are donations that people sent to the ASPCA, who people who saw these heart-wrenching pictures of puppies that have been abandoned.
Yeah.
That money actually went to go pay this witness. Now, because of the settlement, ironically, the money will actually go to Ringling Brothers. And the twist, maybe the silver lining, is that $9.3 million will have more likelihood of actually going towards animal care now that it's being spent by Ringling Brothers than it would have had the ASPCA been doling it out for things like paying Tom Ryder, their witness, in this absurd lawsuit that was going not to protect animals but to promote a radical ideology. Now, look, I never knew that the ASPCA didn't want animals to be in zoos or circuses. I mean,
sure.
When you see these commercials, you don't know that. You think they're going to save puppies. But that's not where the money is going. Give it to your local shelter if you're like me and apparently you and you love animals.
Yeah.
Give it to the local shelter and help animals. Don't give it to the ASPCA, which is fighting this. And you don't see this agenda in their commercials, do you?
No. No. Do you think people were shocked? I mean, I hope a lot of people actually got a chance to see your piece. Do you think people would be shocked, and certainly the listeners of this show, would be shocked to learn that? As you said, I think you were. I am. I'm actually, to be honest, I'm really stunned about that. You know, we're used to where you have a group where they're a non-profit and they're working to save the lives of people or do other good things. We're used to sometimes being jolted by salaries or how much money is going to the actual projects. But what a disgrace that almost 10 million or 9.5 million is going for something that was really a twist of a few phrases on their part that was dumping on Ringling Brothers, and Ringling Brothers knew they can't take hits like that from the ASPCA because it's suicide. It's not necessarily a political nightmare, but it's a publicity nightmare. So
of course it's
good that they went after them.
One thing, you know, the op-ed, I had a limit on the words I could put in there, but I'll tell you part of what did not get into the final version of my op-ed, and that is one of my earliest and most fond childhood memories was when my Aunt Evelyn took me to the Ringling Brothers Circus as a child. I went to the Madison Square Garden, and I saw elephants. As a toddler, how often does a kid growing up in the suburbs get to see elephants? And I truly believe that helped me gain an appreciation and respect and love of animals that I carried with me throughout my life. And these radical activists don't want people to have those positive experiences.
Yeah. Do you think it's funny? I have a similar experience to yours. The March of the Elephants, you know, when they would, because I grew up partially in Queens, and we got to see the elephants come in, and, uh-huh. and it truly is. It truly was exciting. I mean, I thought the elephants ruled when it came to the circus. The effect is, though, on all this stuff that's happening, if they keep that pressure up, even despite settling here, what about these smaller circuses? They couldn't withstand this kind of a hit.
That's an excellent point, and that's why I give praise to Ringling Brothers. They didn't have to file this lawsuit. They could have just kept on marching on. But the ASPCA and the Radical Animal Rights Group, as I wrote, will not walk away with their tail between their legs. They're just going to go after the smaller companies, the smaller circuses and the smaller zoos who don't have the resources to fight and defend themselves. So this is a story about, I think, animal rights groups gone wild. Taking advantage of the legal system, as I wrote, turning it into a three-ring circus and abusing the legal system. And while Ringling Brothers was large enough to be able to defend themselves and clear their name, this $9.3 million settlement, I mean, I work in a nonprofit sector, no organization is going to give away $9.3 million, let alone to their adversary, unless they realize they probably did something wrong and they're going to get nailed for it. As a responsible administrator of a nonprofit, you only settle for $9.3 million if you realize and your lawyers advise you, you're going to get clocked for a whole lot more than that if this goes to trial.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And the issue of the elephant is an interesting one, too. We've done stories on this as to what happens with elephants and human interaction, and you talked about it even in your op-ed, Pete, about the Asian elephants and the debate over, you know, over them. The New York Times last month talking about it, and we talked about it on this show, and where are we headed with that, and, you know, do you want to see the elephant in a zoo, or do you want to see the elephants in a circus, or do you want to see them die off?
Oh, well, that's the animal rights activist groups, at least the ones involved in this case, have made it pretty clear. They don't want elephants to be in zoos. As a matter of fact, the Los Angeles City Council this year is expected to take up a piece of legislation that will ban these elephants from circuses appearing in the city of Los Angeles. They haven't turned away from their agenda. That's what this is about. This is not about animal abuse. Because there, you know, maybe there are cases where we'd be treating animals better. We always try to improve that. But Ringling Brothers, with their vast resources, is the last one that would be abusing these animals. Unless, of course, your view is, and this is what the radical agenda is, that simply by having the elephants in the circus exposed to people, that, in their view, is the abuse.
Yeah.
And that, in my view, is the problem.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Jeff Steyer, keep up the pressure. He's a fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research. Kudos to you for getting that pumped out there in the Orange County Register. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks so much. Looking forward to it.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day. Unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Of all the monuments in Washington, D.C., folks, and I've been to a bunch of them. In fact, last year I was just there once again. And having grown up in Philadelphia, we always took field trips to Washington. I can remember the first time that I saw the Vietnam Wall. Do you remember all the hubbub when it first came out? And now you go and you see hubbub in a good way. I mean, when you go to the Vietnam Memorial, the Veterans Memorial, it just makes the hair, I think, on your arm stand up and you get goosebumps. Because it seems every time I'm there, I know that I'm probably looking at a family member. I see flowers that are left, notes, and the scratching over the names, putting a piece of paper and scratching over the names. And perhaps that's why I have that reaction. But I think that of all the wars that we've fought, and so many of you have called who did fight in the Vietnam War, and you tell your stories, especially when it's Veterans Day or other times when we're talking about what's happening with veterans of all wars. And it's just, some of the stories are just so poignant, and you just can't do enough to remember what the people did and their contributions and the people that never came back from that war. So Lisa Lark has written a terrific book. It's a coffee table book with amazing pictures and stories. It's called All They Left Behind, Legacies of the Men and the Women on the Wall. And this is in commemoration of the 30th anniversary of the wall. Lisa, thanks for popping on ATN this new year, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well, Kate. Thanks for having me on to talk about the book and the wall and the veterans of the Vietnam War.
tell everybody what it was that sent you, that was the driving force behind you putting this book together.
Well, I'm a high school English teacher as my day job, and the high school where I teach in Dearborn, Michigan, lost 23 men during the Vietnam era. And every spring we hold a Memorial Day service for those men, and my involvement in this project just evolved from a student asking me a question, wanting to know more about some of these men from Edsel Ford High School who died. I started researching, and that led me to a great program that the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund has called the Call for Photos Project. And what we want to do is get a photograph for all 58,282 names on the wall. And from there, the photographs led me to some of these, I mean, amazing stories of heroism and bravery and sacrifice. And once we started telling them, they just kept coming.
And so with the pictures that are being collected, because, oh, that's so many, and you think of all the names on the wall, ultimately what is the goal of with the photographs?
Well, primarily the first step is they'll be used on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund website, and you can go to that website, search the wall for a name of a soldier from your hometown, from your high school, just see if someone has the same name as you do. And instead of just coming up with that person's name, you'll be able to see their photograph.
Oh, great.
So we're putting a face with the name of every name that's on the wall.
Yeah.
So that's the first step. But eventually the photographs will be used at the forthcoming education center at the wall. And that way, when the first generation of Vietnam veterans and their families grow old and unfortunately pass on, we'll be able to leave these legacies, these photographs, and these stories for future generations.
Yeah. What I love about the book is it's that you have their name, and it looks like it was scratched, and then you tell their rank and their date of birth and when they died and how they died. There's a little thing about that, but also the personal stories, as you said, and where you can find their name. Like you say, panel 23W, row 112. And if you were looking there, that would be First Lieutenant in the Army, Sharon A. Lane. And reading her story, she was killed by a rocket attack. And, you know, reading the things that she did while she was there, what she did, the countless hours that she put in, and how many people were suffering and how many people that she treated. It's just a great, great story, somebody that you introduced us to. You introduced us to a whole bunch of people for a lot of different reasons. How did you, when you were narrowing everything down, you were looking through these stories and you talked about the connection to Michigan, were you, I don't want to say surprise, but you know, they say that there's so much more behind the name. There's so much more life to that story. As you started to do the research for it, did you find that it just kind of poured out while you were doing that?
Oh, absolutely. When we started this process, you know, my roots are in Dearborn, Michigan, so there is a section on the book about my Dearborn boys, and I obviously became very, very close to those stories. Those were the first ones I researched, and obviously I have the most detail because they walk the streets that I walk, and they, you know, they attended the school that I teach at. And so for me, that was a very powerful segment. To feel those connections. And that's the hope with having soldiers, as you can tell from the book, from across the country. We have James Gabriel from Hawaii, and then we go all the way across the country. We have Eugene Self from New Jersey. We even have Paul Wolos from Canada. So hopefully these people will see them as more than just names, as more than just these names carved in that granite, and learn who they were. I mean, these were fathers and sons and daughters. You know, a lot of people overlook the eight women on the wall, as you mentioned, Sharon Lane, but there are seven others. And once you start digging into these men's stories, it just becomes this amazing connection, because for many people, you know, they lived through it. But for those of us that didn't, it creates this connection. And when I work with my students, that's what they're so drawn by. Oh, I was on the swim team. I'm in the school plays. You know, and we've even found students in our school that are related to some of the men that we celebrated our memorial service that we didn't even realize.
Wow, isn't that terrific? Well, as you do this, and or as you put this together, was there had to be a couple stories that really just touched you. What's your favorite story in the whole book? Do you have a favorite story?
Oh, that's hard to say. I mean, you come so to know these men and women so well, and to forge these just deep connections. But there's two that really sort of touched me, you know, perhaps a little bit more deeply than others. There's one story in the book about Charles Meek, a Lance Corporal from Michigan, and he's actually a young man that lived down the street from my mother when they were growing up and attended high school with her in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. And so Chuck was really the first person that I knew. Obviously, I didn't know him. He was sadly gone before I was born. But I learned of his story growing up. You know, when my family traveled to the wall, you know, as you mentioned, you go there and you see these names. And that was the name that I looked for. And so once I was able to dig more deeply into Chuck's story, you know, it was able to bring, you know, me much closer to him. But it also was able to, you know, give my mother some closure to learn more about this man that she knew for such a long time, but simply only knew that he went to Vietnam and, you know, sadly didn't come home. So that was a very powerful experience. And then secondly would be the story from a little further back in the book of David Land and Ralph Bickford from Wichita, Kansas. They were two best friends that were absolutely inseparable. David was outgoing and gregarious, and Ralph was much more serious and shy. And David joined the Navy, and Ralph joined the Army National Guard. And, you know, Ralph came down with this illness, and David went and took care of him. And, you know, the families were very close. And David, unfortunately, was killed in Vietnam on January 14th of 1969, and Ralph lost his life about 9 weeks later. Ralph was buried on David's birthday, and his body came home from Vietnam on Ralph's birthday, and there's a beautiful photograph in the book. The two of them are buried side by side in Kansas. Their families chose to have them buried together, and their story of friendship is just one that I think is so emblematic of these men. You know,
Lisa, what did you say? And you're right, and that story is one of the, I would have picked that story out too as I was going through the book, that because of the, as you say, because of the bosom buddy deal that they had, obviously, and how sad, I mean, how tragic it was, but the fact that they were there for each other, even, you could say, even in death, it was very, very, very touching. When you, once you finished this book, I can imagine there was a lot of reactions from some of the families. What did some of the families say to you about the book?
Well, the families have been overwhelmingly positive. I've received some wonderful notes. I actually just returned from Wichita, where we had a reading from the section on David and Ralph at a great bookstore, Watermark Books in Wichita, Kansas. And David's father was there. His brother and sister were there. Ralph's sister was there, as well as people who knew them growing up. And it's just, the response has just been overwhelming. For so long, Vietnam veterans were not welcome homed as they should have been. And this has been a chance for families to tell the stories of these men and women that they loved so much and, you know, sort of shout from the rooftops that, you know, these were amazing, wonderful, inspiring people that would have gone on to live wondrous lives. And, you know, we're all sort of worse for it because they weren't able to grow into adulthood.
Yeah, what a perfect note to end this interview on. And like I said, I can't tell you, folks listening, enough about this book. It's just so terrific, and the way Lisa sums it up, for far too long, Vietnam veterans were forgotten by way too many people. All they left behind, legacies of the men and the women on the wall. If people want to get a copy of the book, Lisa, how can they do that?
The best way to do it is go to the MT Publishing website, which is www.mtpublishing.com, or you can go to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund website at vvmf.org. We also want to encourage your listeners that if they have any photographs of friends or family members that were lost in Vietnam, please get in touch with us. Get in touch with me personally. We'll make sure that those photographs get up onto the website, and then we can use them in the education center so that all of these men and women can be remembered.
Yep, excellent. Lisa, thanks a lot, and I hope a lot of people go and read that book and know more about the stories of the people that they see on the wall when they go and look at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial there in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you very much, Kate. I appreciate it.
There is a false sense of security that the greatest economic crash since the Great Depression is over. But unemployment is still at a 20-year high, and until Americans are working again, the economy has not recovered. What is the smartest investment you can make? It's food. Having a supply of eFoods Direct 25-year shelf life food is your best investment for the troubled times today and the future. For 32 years, the folks at eFoods Direct have helped thousands take the trouble out of troubled times. So to celebrate our 32-year anniversary, get the best insurance possible with a special one-time offer. A two-month food supply for only $320 and free shipping. That's 352 servings of our newest and most popular award-winning recipes at less than a dollar per serving. The 25-year shelf life allows you to lock your food cost against inflation. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. The two-month supply is only available for a limited time. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
People are taking charge of their lives with healthier lifestyles. That's why you have to experience the Raleigh-Durham Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event. One day only, Saturday, August 17th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Durham Convention Center in Durham, North Carolina. Explore the Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, where learning is fun and delicious. Discover the world of gluten-free with free samples, cooking demonstrations, and lectures with well-known members of the gluten-free community. Enter the raffle, and you could win the grand prize of a catered barbecue from Bonesuckin' Sauce, valued at $3,000. The Raleigh-Durham Gluten and Allergen-Free Wellness Event, August 17th at the Durham Convention Center. For more, visit RaleighGlutenFreeExpo.blogspot.com. RaleighGlutenFreeExpo.blogspot.com. Presented by Udy's Gluten Free, Glutino, Enjoy Life Foods, and Youngevity.
Do you know what is the number one item to stockpile? Here's why I ask. We're in the middle of a global food crisis because of extreme drought, deadly disasters, and stupid decisions by those boneheads in the government. I found four warning signs that show that a major food crisis is on our doorstep, and we're just one more trigger away from a devastating disaster. And when that happens, or God forbid you have to deal with another natural disaster, do you really want to rely on FEMA to feed you and your family? That's why smart patriots have secured their own stockpile of survival food. Log on to stockpile1.com to see a little-known secret that instantly saves you and your family from natural disasters and the coming food crisis. Go watch my video at stockpile1.com. Again, that's stockpile1.com.
Yeah. I'll tell you, if more men would learn how to cook just a few simple things, they have no idea that really food is the way to stomach, the food is a way to a woman's heart as well. It's not just the old saying about men. I believe that's for women, too. I have a brother who is very much a masculine man, and he's a cook. And I'll tell you what, his wife really appreciates it, if you know what I mean. In the wings in our virtual green room is Anthony Mongello. And Anthony, I got a big question for you. Of course, he's the big cheese, the man behind Formaggio cheese, my favorite. Anthony, this is big for all of us, or for some of us anyway. What are you giving up for Lent? Because it's Ash Wednesday.
You know, I was actually in church today, and it was a hard thought, but I do give up my meat every Friday, which is a big thing for me, because being a big cheese weighing 285 pounds, I eat a lot of meat. I don't eat too much pasta, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to be giving that up every Friday.
Oh, every Friday. And is there someone to keep score for you, the accountability thing? You know how that is.
I do know how it is, but it's just guilt in me, so I make sure that I abide by it, believe me.
Yeah, Catholic guilt, I can relate. I have the same thing going on in my life.
It's very real.
Yeah, we grow up with it. Anthony, so somebody's listening, lots of guys are listening to this, and they want to try to learn how to cook a few things, really surprise their woman. And you have some things that can be made that will really, I think, knock their socks off, starting with an appetizer, right? Isn't that the way to go? Start with an appetizer?
Absolutely. And cheese is near and dear to my heart. I don't know if you figured that out yet. I think that my veins, they don't pump red blood. They got white blood in it from all the cheese that I eat.
I love it.
But with, With that being said, I do start with the appetizer. What I like to do is I like to make a very fresh caprese salad. And a caprese salad is very simple to do, where you just have fresh mozzarella, you slice it, you get tomatoes off the vine, you slice them, you get some fresh basil from the produce department, you pick that off the stem, and you go ahead and you put all this together on a dish, and you drizzle it with some extra virgin olive oil, and if you like, a touch of balsamic vinegar, and you got a home run.
Oh, easy, easy to do. Any guy can do that.
Anybody can do that. Absolutely, positively, anybody can do that.
Yeah. All right. I like that. That's a good one, guys. Go with it. It's my favorite. And it's, and as Anthony says, very, very easy to do. Okay.
Listen,
now,
I want to give the guys the confidence. We can all cook. All you got to do is actually know how to shop. If you buy the right products, a little simple direction, and you can put together what I call five-star meals. Guaranteed.
Right. So the whole, so that's good. So part of it is you gotta, you can't just be running into the kitchen and figuring you're just going to grab a little here, a little there. You really just have to shop, put, just like anyone else would, put together your shopping list and go.
I have a website called kingsinthekitchen.com for all the men that want to go find some simplistic recipes. That's where you would find them. And I'd like to tell you about one that I have that's really cool, really delicious, and really easy to make.
Let's hear it.
I call it Chicken Valencia. And Chicken Valencia is a very simple combination of easy-to-find ingredients in the supermarket. Example, I like deli mustard. You're going to pick a mustard for this dish. I go ahead and I get like Golden's deli mustard, very easy to find. We all know what that is, right?
Right.
I get some Italian dressing in a bottle out of the grocery department, Wishbone, something like that, doesn't matter. And you mix them together. You mix half of a bottle of mustard and a full bottle of the Italian dressing together in a bowl on the side. And then in your frying pan, a touch of oil, get some chicken cutlets. They come already thin. You can ask the butcher. If not, they have them in the meat case in the supermarket. Just get those thin cutlets and put them right into that little bit of oil after it's heated up and just get them to brown. Now, you know the funny thing is people are always worried about whether the chicken's going to be cooked, right? Isn't that a concern?
Yeah.
Well, the reality is with this dish, you don't have to worry about that, and here's why. You brown the chicken on one side, you flip it over, you brown it on the other side. Is it cooked? No, it's not cooked. But now you take the sauce that I just told you about with the mustard and with the Italian dressing, and what's in there is herbs and spices and pieces of onion, the oil and the vinegar, everything you want, the flavor profile, it comes from these two products. You know what? I left out one thing. Before I put the cutlet in the pan, I use this thing called adobo. Did you ever hear of adobo?
No, no, what is it?
It's a spice that's more Spanish, and I feel like it's been a best-kept secret for years. Goya makes an adobo. I love it. I use it to flavor every meal, meat, fish, or even in my sauce on Sunday. And what I do is I sprinkle it on the chicken cutlet. Again, put the cutlet in the pan, have it brown on both sides. And then you take this combination of the mustard and the dressing, and you put it all in the pan after you've browned the chicken cutlets and cover. Let it cook for 15 to 20 minutes, and guaranteed your chicken cutlets will be done. But the best part is they won't be dry because they'll be cooking under the juice that I told you about. And with the mustard and the vinegar and the oil and the spices, you take all of this. If you can follow me, you get what's called Uncle Ben's Ready Rice. I'm Italian. I can make pasta. I have no idea how to make rice. Never did, but this rice is foolproof. You put it in the microwave 90 seconds, take it out, put it in a dish as a bed, take the cutlet, put that on top, take all the juices from the pan, put that on top, and you've got an incredible dish I call Chicken Valencia over an urban butter 90-second rice.
Oh, it sounds so good, man. I want some. That's good. Good.
It's easy to put together. Anybody can find mustard. Anybody can find the vinegar and put this together. Guys, I promise you, if you try, you will not fail. And you will get the brownie points that you expect by feeding your woman something incredible that you made with your own two hands.
Yeah, and it doesn't take a long time, right? By what you just said, it can't take you that long.
No, it won't even take you 20 minutes from start to finish to put that dish together. It really will not, and you're really going to enjoy the flavor profile. I like the way the sauce gets down into the rice, and you eat the rice. You got this flavor that's going on in your mouth. It's on the chicken. It's on the rice. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, do you find that, Anthony, because now so many people that cook are talk about shortcuts and quick recipes, because is that part of the problem for men and probably for women that it's the time thing that we're all crunched with?
That's what it is. Everybody's working. Everybody's busy. We've all got careers, but When it comes to good food, we do not want to compromise. And that's what my concept of kings in the kitchen, teaching men how to be a king in their kitchen, is all about. I actually do a radio show every Friday morning upstate New York where I live, and the reality is we teach people to make these five-star meals simplistically. How? The number one rule is to learn how to shop. Buy all your ingredients and make sure that they work and they go together. You can do this with chicken, you can do this with beef, you can do it with anything you want. You can even do it with fish. It's an incredible way to make a nice, delectable sauce.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, I got a question for you, Anthony. You know, a lot of you chefs hang out together, and I know, thinking of my pals in New York, Lydia Bastanovich. Do you know Lydia?
You know, I do. I've met her a few times. I've watched her on TV growing up, believe it or not. And I go to the local, not the local, but the big international food shows, what I should be saying. And she happened to be at a booth or had a booth at the food show that I was at. It was an international food show called the IBDBA. And I think it was out in Louisiana. And I got to take some pictures with her and talk to her a little bit. And a woman like that to me is very inspirational. But the key is what you said before, which was the shortcuts. Mm-hmm. I do things as a man that cooks in the kitchen, and I take shortcuts. You want a shortcut? I do not slice onions. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I can buy them already done. Why would I want to cry over onions? I can go to the frozen food department and get them out of the freezer. They're already done. I don't mince garlic. My hands will stink, and then my woman won't want to come near me. So I get minced garlic in a squeezable bottle. I mean, what more convenience would you want? I look at it like this. If we're smart enough to seek out these products that'll make our lives easier, we've got a home run. These manufacturers like me, our manufacturers out there, you know what they're trying to do? Make our lives easier by creating what they call line extensions. An extension of an existing line that is more beneficial to the consumer in a way to help us make our lives easier cooking.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that, you know, because everybody's talking about there's just too much fast food. I mean, hey, fast food's okay, but if you're just eating that morning, noon, and night because you're just exhausted, you got to get, you just got to figure out a way to get in the kitchen. You're right with these shortcuts and stuff, because it can't be healthy to constantly pound yourself with that.
You are absolutely on point. You couldn't be more right in my eyes. I'll tell you what. I take a cream sauce. You know what I do? I go get jars of Alfredo sauce. But you know what the key is? I make my own base. I put a little oil, those pre-diced onions I told you about, and the garlic in a pot, and I get them going until the onions are translucent and the garlic starts to get brown a little bit, and then I add the Alfredo sauce. But you know what that is for me? Nothing but a time saver. I've created my own base, and I season it however I want. And as a king in the kitchen, the big cheese, you know what I do? I add about a shot glass of what's called cream sherry to every cream dish I make, and let me tell you, it takes the flavor over the top.
Yeah. King in the kitchen, the big cheese. One last one. What's your, and this is going to be a tough question, what's your favorite meal?
My favorite meal. I am a steak man. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter which one it is, whether it's a London broil, but my favorite steak as a steak is a rib steak because of the fat and the grizzle that's on it. Because for me, that's all about the flavor. A steak, for me, cooked medium rare over a bed of rice is absolutely one of the best meals I could ever have.
Oof. All right, I was waiting for some pasta dish, something like that. But
you know what? I've eaten pasta all my life. I'm 48 years old. My palate's got to change a little bit, and I love a good steak. I got to say, I'm a meat potatoes guy.
All right, I love it. Happy Valentine's Day, Anthony. Thanks for all the suggestions. I hope you guys are listening, and you go to his website and check it out. Thanks, Anthony.
Okay, you have a great day.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.